was invited to be there with him. So you take that for what it's worth. So you're right, though. If he would stand, I mean, the only thing, it boils down to Democrats, Republicans in this case. So the only thing supporters of school funding reform have right now is they have the governor in their party. But he isn't stepping out on the issue. Although he did hire Otten. He also didn't.
But I mean, if
you don't remember him hardly endorsing his own task force, though, either. So.
I just mean, if you can't get the leading Democrat in the state to speak out vocally, what chance do you really have?
Well, and again, that's, I think we ran into problems early on because when the governor took that original $400 million out of the budget for school aid, we criticized him. And we just pretty much, you know, that just cut off the left edge of the limb for us. You know, it took us 4 years to get, or 2 years to get back. Because that, you just don't do that. It was always, well, wait for a second term. Well, I don't see any indication that, A, that he's going to win a second term, or if he does, that he's going to do anything on this issue. But that I really don't. That's being honest, you know, right. Brutally honest.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I have, I'm a guest here, I gather.
Can you ask a question?
Sure. I have to leave shortly, but... I've been a long time in grassroots politics. That's why we have the chiropractic legislation. But you had the freedom to choose where you want to go. Fought that many years against the medical profession, figured out how to do it. But one of the things that I have found in getting involved, the public doesn't have trust in the school board administration. I think you need to build the trust. If you have the trust, you have the feeling that they're not an inside group, that they're inbred. The public will support you. Also, the quality of the student that comes out and what the people hire them, that makes a big difference. And what talking about government, what I have found is that democracy works, but you don't work. If you don't have the time to go to a fundraiser for your $10, and you don't have time to distribute literature door to door, if you don't have time to stand at a plant gate in the rain, one thing politicians need more than anything, it's not money, it's you. Stand in the gap. And that's what this public does it too. And that's what democracy is. It's working. Pure and simple. That's what it's all about. It works, but it won't work if you don't participate in the work. And as much as the media, newspapers like to talk about money. They don't talk about participation because money is not the answer. My vote is more important than money will ever be. And that's the great thing about our country. But we don't use it.
Couldn't agree more. You're the bad guy.
Why do you think the public doesn't trust administrators?
Well, part of it is they don't know a lot of what's going on. They're not informed today. And they don't understand the process. I finally had to figure out how politics work when I get chiropractic work yesterday. I took an action course in practical politics, but that's just Chamber of Commerce. Six lessons. 6 2-hour courses. And it's participation. It's just so important. And and I said about the school board being, the administration being trustworthy. And I don't see the teachers standing up against the administration. And if the teachers don't want to stand against the administration to approve it.
Now, I have a feeling you're talking specifically about Madison.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I travel quite a bit. And I pick up the newspaper. And the same thing is going on all over. It's going on in Washington. Going on in Oregon. It's going on in Colorado. Going on in New Mexico. So the same problem you're talking about here today is
school funding?
The disease. It's a disease.
I understand what you're saying, and I see it when I go to communities too, and I have to work real hard because I think you're older and wiser than I am, but I think it is more of a perception than I do a real problem. And I used to be on a school board. I used to work with the public on one end and the administration on the other end and the teachers on another end. And there's more perceptual problems sometimes than there are real problems.
But when you have a school board that takes a fund 80, use that money for something else to get around the cap, that doesn't work. They're just
You see, it doesn't work except it keeps the lights
they're
on.
They're just like the politicians. I mean, it doesn't give a word.
But if you're forced into a situation by a funding system, you got to work the system. And they got, I think there are courses on how to work the system.
Absolutely.
That's what this one is.
But I think, and I think I appreciate your comments. And I, in the council, I couldn't agree more that one of our problems is people don't understand what other people are doing. Very often, school people don't understand what the community really might want. But on the other hand, the school leadership, and which should include the teachers, we feel that sometimes we have to save the community from themselves because they do not know what the current needs of our graduates are. And given, you know, I think you can find all, and I'm sure you have that in your profession. There are always those who, hell, it was good enough 20 years ago. Why would I want to put in an innovation and, you know, go there? So, you know, that's one of the problems we have is a lack of understanding. Now, I'm not going to say that every school administrator doesn't make mistakes and, you know, what have you. And I also agree, you know, it can be a problem of spending in that. But you take a look at the group here, and most of them are education maximizers. And, you know, I understand Fund 80 real well and the purpose of it and the use of community resources and that. But at some level, when you get the pressure and you do not know where to find the money to do what you think needs to be done for your calling, you get creative. And while that may undermine public confidence if they don't understand the requirements put upon them or not, I agree with you in that I look at from where I sit, and I believe we have a problem of respect for leadership all over. And we've seen not only school people that have apparently been bad custodians of the public money and finance, we sure as hell see many political figures and or every other profession. And so we're caught up in that.
But
also,
we can get rid of them every 4 years or 2 years. We can't do that.
Well, we don't, though, do we?
Well, Eric Condoleezza just went a huge landslide.
It's easier getting rid of a superintendent today than it is getting rid of the president or the governor.
Again,
we're not here to argue. I'm just saying.
I enjoy hearing you, and I try to see both sides.
And that's all that everyone wants is to try to see both sides.
Well, both sides is I call it street knowledge of talking to the public. And again, if you're not ready, don't launch it. Don't, if you're not ready for the project, if you're not going to do the education, don't launch it. Then you win. But I don't, the way to win is to participate. Go door and have a shepherd dog bite you in gastrocnemius and then you get to understanding what it's all about.
We should all be on the same side. Yep. And that's for
it's there. It's a matter of education, a matter of custom.
You know, I came in late, and my name is Monty Hallward. I'm the superintendent of schools up in Barron. So we've met before. Yeah. I've been to some of your sessions, in fact. But I testified to legislative hearings on two occasions. I've spoken with the governor's educational advisor, Liam
Goldberg.
And I spoke to our representatives and our senators a few times, but it seems to fall on deaf ears. They come back and they say, where are we going to get the money? We got one pot of gold. We're already in a deficit. They don't want to listen to it. It falls on deaf ears. And raising taxes is a taboo. That seems like you go in. But my paper in this class, and the class knows this, is going to be school funding, the slow death of public schools in Wisconsin. So, we have to change. We have to change. And if we don't change, you're going to see, instead of 422 school districts, you're going to see 320 school districts in the next 20 years.
And for some people, I think that is the answer. I mean, that's what they expect. That's what they want to have happen.
I would agree with that.
I don't disagree with any of that. But I don't know how... I guess that's why we're trying to do it the way we're trying to do it is honestly a very political grassroots, a very political grassroots hands-on way. He's right. That is the only way to do it. The diminution of the importance of money is a little bit disingenuous. It's all about using that money to influence people to go door to door. I mean, he's exactly right. It's about both. The one thing they're afraid of is not holding office, and that. Through the boat.
I think what's really important, again, you know, and unfortunately it's gotten to be that, like so many things, it's always polarized.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in all of our best interests to solve this. You know, it doesn't do, we all have to solve this, or we're all in trouble.
I think this is where they came out over here. I'm not convinced that every member of the legislature wants to see a public school system survive. I don't believe that for a minute.
I suspect it too.
I don't know that.
I was going to ask your opinion on, you know, because you might see at first blush that it's a matter of values. You know, where do people value or put education? I think it's just a matter of the majority of people being uninformed. I think with respect to these loopholes and everything else that you had mentioned, I don't think people realize that.
No, I know
the
majority
you're right, they don't. Of people realize that. And I think if they did and they were informed, then maybe the pressure would come. Because right now the legislature just loves people being in the dark. I think it's a matter of we gotta educate them what's going on.
And I don't know, Stephen may know better than I do, but I think we're the only group doing that. We are. I mean, we're the only group going around talking to real people, and we're not. I mean, we're just a tiny little bunch of people.
Right.
But that's why I think it's critical that if you think this is important, go back to your communities, talk about it, and ask us to come and do a presentation. It doesn't cost you anything.
But see, they see, you know, how do you get, because I'm sure they see your group as your pro-education.
Right.
You know, you're the pro-education group, and you're spinning the numbers to make it.
Right.
You know, that's the hard part here. Nobody trusts anybody.
They trust the information. For some reason, I must be very trustworthy.
And you know, Tom, again, that statement, and in this class, you know, pro-teacher.
Yes.
Well, we all are.
Right.
I mean,
but it's a bad thing in some.
But you know, and we saw this in Madison where Art got.
Yes.
He was too in bed with the teacher. Well, I got to tell you, without your teachers doing the work, you got nothing, and we all know that. And so we're not anti-teacher.
Right.
We're just specialized people trying to create an environment for education, and call us dirty administrators, call us what you want. We're not, it's not us and them, you know. And although, again, like everything tends to be that way, where people want to frame it in us and them. But, you know, they know. I'm first and foremost a teacher, always have been, always will be, have it on my tombstone. That's how I see it, you know. So, but I've been accused of being the administration, and I hate teachers. Well, it's not true.
The first thing I always have to do, especially in the legislature, is explain the relationship we have with WEAC. Because there's that immediate distrust of us because you're in bed with WEAC.
Yeah. And is there any cost for you to come out and do these?
No.
See, that's what, you know, I don't know why not. There's, I mean, there's nothing.
So one thing I have read in the Higher Education Journal, they were talking about what we're doing is we're sort of like polarizing ourselves. They were saying they need to model it after what they did with the civil rights movement. They didn't have one vote. They had many groups working together. And this was how they worked to actually change it. They said, that's the only way we could change the funding of education. We have to work, these groups have to work together.
No. She just brought up a great question.
Yeah, that's good. I don't want you to be dead yet.
Did you ever hear what she said?
No.
That about bringing together groups?
Yeah.
When I go to communities and start talking, and the first question after I'm done is, well, where does WEAC stand? Where does the School Boards Association stand? Where does WASDA stand? You know, where do the players stand on this? And we've always had to say, I don't know. You know, we've got school board members, we've got WEAC members as members, but as far as their organizations, I don't know where they stand. So, again, to be very honest with you, if you look at the sheet that says where we get our money, you notice it's national funding. It's Rockefeller and Ford. Rockefeller and Ford don't think this is an issue anymore for some reason. They've moved on to something else, healthcare, better teachers, whatever. So our funding is going into the tank. So in about a year, we won't be able to do this anymore unless something changes. So we thought, well, this is a good time to answer that question about where is everybody else and maybe find some funding. So we started some below-the-radar conversations with the big boys. We had a meeting yesterday with Burkhalter from WEAC, the new executive director. I think the new executive director from WASB, or at least his representative. Miles Turner from WASDA, somebody from our group. The Association for Equity and Funding, Doug Haslow. Fair Aid Coalition. The Southeastern Wisconsin School Alliance, which is...
Does OSSA get involved, Tom?
Is OSSA part of SAA?
Yes.
Yeah, so as far as that, SAA was represented. John was there, Forster was there. So we know what you're saying is exactly accurate. We'll never be able to do this because on a continuum, you know, who's ever on the right? Well, we're on the left. And they love to have somebody on the left because they don't have to be saying what they're saying. Then they can just say, well, they'll say it. You know, we'll rely on them. But nothing will ever get done until we bring all those groups together. So our hope is to be able to take this first meeting yesterday. And that meeting yesterday, for those of you old enough, it's kind of like the Paris Peace Talks. So whose flag's going to fly higher, the size of the table, who's going to have more people than anybody else, who's right or left. But there's going to be a second meeting, and the date for that meeting is set. And what we've got set up now is a meeting, I don't know when it's going to be, but at Wingspread, which I think is in Racine or something. And it's going to be facilitated by Julie Underwood, who is now the chair of education. Yeah. So, I mean, it's caught the interest of people who understand what you understand, and that's the importance of people who are stakeholders coming together and working towards the same thing, rather than either working in opposite directions or just sitting on the fence and watching what's happening. So that's really exciting. I think that short-circuits this whole problem, the whole process of working through every community in the state.
I think the federalization or the... the state organizations coming together for the new special ed idea, they joined partners on that.
Yep.
And I think for the first time since I've been around here anyway, they've joined partnership, all of them, WEAC,
yep.
SAA, and that might have been the start of a large coalition.
Yeah,
so
I hope so.
They really haven't, have they ever come out, WEAC or WASDA, or really come out and supported you publicly? I mean... They really haven't, have they?
No, our support, again, you said you came in late. Did you get a packet?
No. I'd like you to put like four or five packets together and for Monty.
Sure.
And you came in late.
But I was just going to say, there's 100 organizations in our coalition, which is you don't pay money, you don't do anything.
Right.
You just believe in something. And there's 50% of them are school districts.
Mm-hmm.
A large percent of them are WEAC locals that you serve. So... my answer has always been, well, this is what your memberships want or think is important. And kind of the reason that WASB and WEAC are now paying attention on this issue is because we've agitated with their members over the years to the point where we got a couple of resolutions adopted by the WASB Delegate Assembly. And the WEAC people, the people that are working with us, it can just be obnoxious at times.
I went to your meeting at the Red Gym after you had a meeting at the Red Gym. It was kind of the after-the-conference tag-along meeting that...
See, that was the only way we could get in.
Right.
And make
they wouldn't
official.
Let you, yeah.
Because they wouldn't let us in. So we just decided to have it next door and see what happened.
And
it was
a
pretty
good turnout.
It was a great meeting.
Why do you think WEAC doesn't support you?
See, I don't even try to answer that question because I can get in trouble.
I think it's politics. Obviously politics.
But it's such a benefit to their members.
But here's what Wales is.
But it means raising taxes, and if it means raising taxes.
I think that's. The way it was explained to me was by a different organization, but I think the same thing applies. First of all, two answers. One, I think it's the way they've always done it. If we actually would be in the car, they're going to drive the car. Okay. The other reason is, I think, and John Forrester told me this, and I believe it, that all of these organizations that you're talking about, WSBA, WEAC, SAA, they all lobby for a multitude of issues, many of them that have nothing to do with funding. All relying on bipartisan support to get something accomplished. On this issue, you can polarize people very quickly. So to take a stand specifically with us on this issue kind of closes the door to you on special ed or a lot of other issues. So they've always maintained kind of, you know they support, I mean, we know they support a change in the system and probably a change that we're recommending. So we understand that. It makes me angry sometimes. But now I think what they see is if we could form yet another organization that they can be part of but not be out in front of, it kind of answers their questions and helps the cause. Anybody else?
Other questions for Tom?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.